Good morning, beloved ones.
Good morning.
Turn to someone and tell them, this is my season. This is my season. Yes. This is my moment. This is my year. This is my time. Yeah, this is my moment, right? My year, my time. Yes, this is it. There isn't any other moment, any other time than this one. And in this moment is the fullness of time, is the fullness of all things desired. In this moment, there's the fullness of God. That's a wonderful, wonderful thing. It's a new year. So once again, I want to wish everybody a happy and a blessed new year. And as I was thinking about the title that I would use for the first Sunday's message of the year, you know, one that I haven't done before, right? Now, oh, well, okay, after 22 years, what else could I say? And so, you know, all I could think of that felt right for a title was simply 2014. 2014, because at it's just 5 days into this new year, right? It's January 5th. It's just 5 days into the new year, and that's about all we know of it so far, right? That it's simply 2014. We don't know too much about it. We've had 5 days to kind of experience. The first day, we were probably in the bed, recuperating, not doing much of anything. And so, you know, this is brand new for us. It's virtually a sort of a blank slate or an empty canvas upon which, you know, throughout the year, we will paint the experiences of our lives. We'll paint the picture of what 2014 will look like and unfold for us. But right now, it's still, the canvas is still sort of blank. Now, we might have created some New Year's resolutions, some tools to start the painting of our canvas. We may have done that. Or maybe we're a little bit more enlightened and we don't call them resolutions anymore. We like to call them intentions, because they feel like, right, they're more spiritually in alignment with our spiritual values. We have an intention to do something. So maybe we've written down some of our intentions. Or some of us may simply have outlined some goals that we want, right? Maybe some of us created a vision board or a treasure map, you know, making pictures and using words and visuals to state the life we want to have for this year. So we've done that. Or perhaps some of us just made some lists, you know, like a Christmas list, right? I want this, I want that. The list of all of our wants and our wishes. Or maybe we participated in our New Year's Eve burning bowl and we wrote what? Letters to God. We wrote letters to God asking and affirming our prayers and our desires for the days ahead, for this year ahead. So the point of all this is that we're thinking at this point, we are thinking ahead, trying to envision what this year will look like for us and what we'll accomplish. We're trying to get clear and intentional about the direction that we want our lives to go in, at least to start off, right? We're trying to figure out what it is that we want to acquire, what we want to accomplish throughout the year, all of which is very good and fine and wonderful. However, I have been wondering, as I always wonder around this time of the year, I wonder how long it will take before we either abandon all of those, you're laughing because you know it's true, right? Before we abandon those wonderful, well laid out plans, or how long will it take before we have forgotten them, or even if we have remembered them for more than a month or a week or, you know, for a longer period of time, will we actually be working on them? Will we still be working on them 6 months from now? Actively pursuing, working on these plans and goals and visions and desires, or will we still be wishing that they were manifested? Would we still be hoping? Have they become 6 years, 6 months from now, will they have become simply a symbol for and of disappointment? A symbol of dreams deferred once again? Which is why a lot of people don't make New Year's resolutions, because they have known from past history that they've not been able to keep them. And so when they're not able to keep them, they end up being and feeling disappointed. Disappointed in who? In themselves. And who wants to feel disappointed? So they no longer make them. I was talking the other day with one of my friends, my gym partner, and as we drive to the gym, we try to solve not only our problems, but the world's problems. We try to figure it all out. And so we were trying to figure out, you know, talking about this whole New Year's thing, we were trying to figure out, well, what is that one thing that stands in the way of our having a thought or having a desire to do something and then actually doing it? What is it that stands in the way between having the thought and then experiencing the action, the manifestation? And so we threw out a couple of things. We said, well, you know, certainly having an intention must be key. That's probably, you know, you have the thought, but you have to have the intention before you can get to the action. And I thought, well, look, I've got lots of intentions, right? Good ones. And that doesn't mean that the action actually takes place. And we all know the statement, right? Good intentions, the road to hell is paved with what? Good intentions. So it's not that we have don't have intention. We may. And then we said, well, maybe it's something deeper than that. Maybe you got to have, you know, a desire. And I thought, well, maybe that's not enough either, because I got lots of desires. And that still is not, doesn't seem to be enough between getting that thought and then having that experience and that action. So we were just going back and forth. And I said, there's got to be something. And I thought, well, what is it that moves us from thought to action? And then all of a sudden it hit me, you know, long after she was gone, I said, I'm going to meditate. And I'm going to kind of think about this because I really would like to get an angle on this. And all of a sudden I thought, well, it might not be a thought at all. Maybe it's an internal impulse. An internal impulse to do or to move or to act. Because I began to reflect upon my cleaning spree that I had on December 31st. Remember, those of you who are here for know what I'm talking about, if you're here for the New Year's Eve message. And basically, in a nutshell, it was this. I had the thought that I would get up and I would change my bed linen, as is a tradition that I like to do. So when I come home from church on New Year's Eve, I have a nice, fresh, clean bed to get in. So that thought, you know, oh, get up and change your linen. But just as quickly as I had that thought, all of a sudden, I also had an impulse to clean and declutter my bedroom. Right? And so I just began, as I shared, I just began to easily and continuously move from one project to the other, right? I was cleaning, I was mopping, I was vacuuming, dusting, throwing away paper, all of that. And so I thought, there was something in that process. What was it? What was it that made me move, or that moved me? From the thought of, oh, I'm just going to change my linen, to all of a sudden just doing all this stuff. And I realized it wasn't a thought of all. I didn't think about it at all. Because if I had thought about it, it'd have been all over, right? If I had thought about it, I wouldn't have done a thing. Right? That wouldn't have happened. I didn't have a plan to clean my bedroom. If I had had a plan to clean my bedroom on December 31st, it wouldn't have happened. Right? I didn't think about it. I didn't get up and say, well, I think I'll go down and I'll mop the kitchen floor. I was up tearing up papers. I went down to the kitchen to do something. Next thing I knew, I was mopping the floor. You know how that happens? You go room to room. I was just doing it. I didn't have that thought. I think I'll get up this morning and I'll mop the floor of the kitchen floor. Oh, I didn't have a plan. I didn't have the pre-thought that, oh, I think I'll just clean up the vacuum cleaner and take out the filter and dust and wash all that. I didn't have a plan that I would go, let me get all these papers. I didn't have any of that. Because if I had, it probably would not have been done. What I had was an impulse. Now, when I think about it, what I really had was a thought, right? It was really a thought that was an impulse, not a thought that said, oh, a plan, I'm going to do this. What I had really was this impulse, and I didn't really think about it. I just started moving, right? I was moved from within. So, what is it that actually stands in the way of our moving something from thought into action? Well, what it is that it's too much thinking. Really, too much thinking. Because for the most part, this is what happens to us. We'll have a thought to do something, right? And then in the very next moment, we'll talk ourselves out of it as we go along, right? We might say, for example, oh, when I get up in the morning, I very often have this impulse, get up and meditate. You know, I have that in the mornings because that's what I really want to do. I want to get up and I want to meditate. So, you know, for example, I might have the thought of, I should get up and I should meditate. And then instead of moving or acting on that thought or that impulse, I simply engage in more thinking, in more thought. So now that initial thought of I should get up and meditate becomes, well, you know, I really could use a few more minutes to sleep. That's a thought that jumps in there. Or maybe I might have the thought, well, gee, I have a lot to do today, you know, at work. I got a lot on my plate. I really don't have the time. Or another thought might be, well, I'm going to meditate, but you know what? I think I'm going to go down and make me some breakfast because I'm a little hungry right now. All these thoughts, or whatever it is, these additional thoughts will come in and come up in my mind that interferes with my original thought. And so I don't do it. See, I firmly believe that our first thought, the first thought, which is really not a thought at all, but I'm going to call it that. Our first thought, which is really not a thought at all, because it's really what, it's intuition, or it may be an impulse, which is planted by the divine for us to move towards something good. That's what that first thought is. It's an intuition, an impulse by the divine to move towards something good. But what happens is that impulse, intuition, that, as we like to call it, that first thought gets waylaid by other thoughts. And the impulse to move is deferred. The dictionary defines an impulse as this: as a sudden, strong, and unreflective urge or desire to act. A sudden, see, intuition is a flash. It comes up and, you know, and as quickly as it comes, it may move if we haven't acted on it. So it says it is a sudden, strong, and unreflective urge or desire to act, or it is a driving or motivating force or impetus. Now, we have many such motivating forces and impulses and intuitions and desires to act. Lots of them flash in our consciousness, in our being. But instead of moving on them, we start thinking. And it is the thinking, that thinking, that derails the impulse to act. It short circuits it and takes us off on a whole nother drive and venue. But what if we were to begin to train ourselves to actually move on the first thought, our first thought, or some people like to call it your first mind, or, you know, I say it's your intuition on that divine and direct impulse that causes you to know. The intuition and impulse is really that intuition, is that direct knowing. It's when you know, and you know from within, right? It's not guessing about something. It's not having a hunch. It's not having a gut feeling. It is knowing. Intuition is a divine and direct knowing. So when that comes, you know, what would happen if we were to act upon that first thought That intuition, without the commentary that comes, without the analyzation, without the justification, without the rationalization, and any other kind of Asian we can think of, right? What would happen if we were to move without all of those things in it? I guarantee you, I bet we would accomplish more than we could ever imagine. We would all of a sudden be doing things that we never thought we would be doing, right? Because I didn't get up with the thought to do any of those things. They just came. It was right action that came from within my spirit, and I just moved with it. Right? So what would happen is that, you know, it's sort of like we would be in this wonderful divine zone. You know what it's like when you're in the zone, right? You're not thinking, oh, I'm in the zone. Everything is, you're in the zone. When you're in the zone, you're not thinking. When you're in the zone, you're just moving with spirit. Everything is flowing and you're in that vibe, right? You're in that presence. You're in that flow. You're moving with grace and ease. You're motivated by that internal spirit, by that inner force that moves you from within, which is an impulse. See? So what happens is we have these impulses. We have this energy. Some people might want to call it the Holy Spirit. It's the movement of God that just moves you into action, into being, without thought. And don't be afraid, don't worry that you're going to do something crazy when you begin to act upon divine inspiration or intuition or impulse. What I'm teaching is for balanced people. If you're not quite balanced and you know that you have some issues, then you might want to check out your impulses before you act on them. I'm serious about that. Okay? So, because we all know when we're in our right mind, we know right from wrong. And that you know that the spirit of living, when you are in your right mind and you are balanced and you are spiritually and psychologically mature and emotionally mature, you know that God would never have you do or move you into anything that is less than what? Good. So if it's less than good, then you check your impulses. It's not a divine message. It's a sign, right? So what happens is we should get more connected. The more connected you are to God and to spirit and to the divine, then the more you're going to be moved by the hand of God. You'll be moved and led to a place that is, you know, for your highest good and the highest good of what? Of all concerned. So the key then is to continually make that connection, to be filled with spirit. And that's inspiration. So here's a formula. Inspiration, that is being filled with spirit. When you are filled with spirit, you are inspired. So inspiration, which is being filled with spirit, leads to intuition, which is that divine or direct knowing that comes from God, which then leads you into a divine impulse, which is that strong inner desire to act, will lead you toward manifestation and fulfillment. That's a wonderful formula, isn't it? That's a good formula. Inspiration leads to intuition, which leads to impulse, which leads to manifestation and fulfillment. So we should be about then wanting to practice being moved by God, being inspired and filled with spirit, trusting that inner guide, trusting that intuition that is going to direct your path, trusting that your path is being directed. I don't have to know how 2014 is going to end up detail by detail. I just know it's going to be good. I'm trusting. So you trust that inner intuition, and you learn to trust the intuition by being filled with spirit, and you learn to be inspired and filled with spirit by meditating and turning your mind and heart and consciousness toward God. And then you move as God directs. Then you move when the Spirit says move. See, when you're so attuned to having meditated, being filled with the Spirit, you don't have to, should I move here, God? Or should you just move? You don't even question. You don't have time to question. You get up and you do and you move. When the Spirit says move, you move. When the Spirit says pray, you pray. When the Spirit says, you know, sing, you sing, right? You do, because you're so connected with that. So that's a practice for us. But then I thought, well, here's a novel thought. What if we were to abandon all of our best laid plans? What if we were to abandon all of our plans for God's plan? What if we were to sort of let go of all of our goals, our visions, and our dreams and desires for God's divine design for us? What would happen? Maybe we wouldn't even need resolutions. We wouldn't need goals and visions and intentions. We wouldn't need that. Listen to some of the versions of one of my favorite scriptures that I love to read. And it's from Jeremiah. You're probably very well familiar with it. But I wanted to read from a couple of versions of this particular scripture. And it's Jeremiah 29, verses 11 through 14. And so it says here, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord." And then from the King, that was from the NIV, New International Version. The King James Version puts it this way. "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you." And from the book called The Message, the version, it says, "I know what I am doing. I have it all planned out. Plans to take care of you, not abandon you. Plans to give you the future you hoped for. When you call on me, when you come and pray to me, I'll listen. When you come looking for me, you'll find me. Yes, when you get serious about finding me and want it more than anything else, I'll make sure you won't be disappointed. God's decree." Now, that's my favorite one. Don't you love that one? That's a powerful one. That's my favorite one in terms of, this is one of my favorite scriptures. Because sometimes I get all caught up in what should I do and when is it going to happen and how should I do it. And God said, "I know my plans for you. I have a plan for you. And it's not a plan to bring you any kind of harm. It is only a plan to bring you, to bless you, to prosper you, to give you the future that you are hoping for. I know the plans that I have for you." And I love this particular version because this one says, God says, "I know what I'm doing. I planned," and I thought, well, thank God, God knows what God is doing, right? To take care, my plan, it says here, this one is to take care of you and not to abandon you and to give you the future you hope for. So that's the promise. And the only thing that it says that we must do in this particular scripture is that it says the only thing we need to do is to seek God with all of our heart, to call upon God, to pray so that God will listen, to seek, to call upon, and to pray to God. And then once we do that, we will find God. And then the most important thing God says after that, and once we find him, we will not be disappointed. I love that. If you seek more than anything for me, you will not be disappointed. You see, what it is what, it's like if we think about this thing, that praying for something actually actually is a spiritual form of planning. Because when you pray with, in our new thought way, when you pray with affirmatively, and when you pray without doubt, when you pray with complete faith and you don't doubt, then you can actually plan upon that prayer manifesting. You can act on that prayer before it even has come into fruition, because you know that it's going to what? Unfold. You know that it's going to happen. I know the plans I have for you. You can expect God to fulfill your plans, to fulfill your prayers, that is, and which will become his plans for you, for your highest good, his plans for blessings and prosperity. The divine will hear you, because what will be registered is not the details of your words. It's not going to be how many words you use, not going to be how many times you beg. What will be registered is the fullness of your heart, right? That's what's going to register, the fullness of your heart, the fullness of your seeking and your desiring God. Because the scripture says, if you seek me with all your heart, if you want me more than anything else, you will not be disappointed. That's powerful stuff. See, we desire not for things, but we desire for God. Jesus told us that, but, you know, we still don't get it. It's seek ye first the kingdom of God and everything else. But sometimes it doesn't register. We're still thinking those things, seeking if I can get those things. God, I need these things. God already knows. Get the process right. Get it right. Seek God first, and all things will be added unto you. Desire God. See, I have some desires, but they're not those divine desires, deep desires. To desire is D and sire, from the Father, from God, from the Father. And so when you come from that place that everything that I desire is from the Father, then your desires will be answered. Yes, the scripture says when you get serious about finding me and want it more than anything else, I will make sure that you are not disappointed. Here's the thing. What God has anointed and appointed for you will be given to you. Nobody can take your good. Nothing can stop that when you have your mind and your heart set right. Nothing will be able to stop your good from flowing to you, coming to you, pouring to you. What God has appointed and anointed for you will be given to you. Turn to somebody and say, it's mine. It's mine, it's mine, it's mine. It's mine. It is mine, it's mine. I have the anointing. I have the appointment of God upon my life. I keep that appointment and I'm never disappointed in God and with God. When we seek God diligently, diligently we will find God. And when that happens, then you'll be filled with divine inspiration. The infilling of spirit, you'll be filled with intuition. You'll know what to do. You'll be filled with that impulse to move. What will happen is you will think and plan less, but do and have more. That's the way it works. You will think and plan less and do and have more. And what you have and what you do will be divinely right for you. It'll come to you in the right way at the right time. People will show up that you didn't think would show up and just do what you didn't think could be done. You'll be in that flow. You'll be in the zone, in the grace of God. It'll come naturally and easily. You'll just be moving with that spirit. So this is the year that your season is here. This, for me, my year, I've decided that, you know, my resolutions that I'm going to make and my intentions will be to simply seek more of God's presence. If I could just get that mastered, if I could just do that, everything else is going to fall into place. Because once I just begin to seek more of God's presence and begin to learn how to act on that first impulse, that first thought, that first tuition of knowing what to do and when to do and doing it, then all of a sudden I'm moving in grace. I begin to pray. My prayers are just simply affirmations that God will continue to direct my path, to order my steps, to set my plans, and all according to his purpose. I trust that process. And when I do, I cannot help but be blessed and prospered. So I say, for me, bring it on. Bring it on.
Doesn't matter. And I hope that you all will be moved to work God's plan for your life. It's going to be fabulous. Blessings. Namaste. Namaste. Namaste.